From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And as Amy Goodman has been wonderfully doing, we're going to continue this discussion of all the news and developments around events in Gaza, Israel, Lebanon, Syria. There apparently is an unfolding offensive by the Israeli army. We don't know the dimensions of it. I don't. But they had 38 hospitals, and now they have they're down to 4, I think. A hospital is being knocked out today in Rafah. We have a guest, Tony Leah, UNIFOR. And are you there, Tony?
Hi, Phil. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you okay. A little bit of an echo. You sound like you're from outer space, but I hear you. I'll just say that there's a dimension to the protest now that I think is really significant. And it's not only that the more and more students around the world and in North America, I understand the University of Montreal now has an encampment, but there is a dimension that is starting to emerge, and that is that unions on those campuses are caught up in this, and many union members have had some problems with the way the authorities are treating people. And Tony Leah is somebody who knows about these things. Let's just see how your sound is, Tony. The big one that I heard about was at the University of California, where your union, well, your co-union, your partners in the United States, United Auto Workers, your UNIFOR, but former UAW, yeah. And you remain close. UAW has a lot of members, and they're doing something really significant today. What is that?
Yes, the graduate student workers at the different University of California campuses are members of UAW Local 4811. And they have 48,000 members.
I can't
in that
firm
local,
up any higher, he's feedbacking.
Which is just an incredible number and must be the largest local union on the continent or close to it. And, of course, as students, as well as workers on the campus, they've been involved in the protests, many of their members, and they have been subjected to really violent treatment, and they say that their members have been beaten, concussed, pepper sprayed, both by counter-protesters and by police forces. And they say, as a union, it's our responsibility to stand beside them and demand that UC stop committing these gross, unfair labor practices. So they've done two things. The first is that they've filed complaints of unfair labor practices against the administration for allowing their members to be treated that way and in solidarity with all of the student protesters. And today, they're taking a strike vote, well, over the next 3 days, starting today. They're voting to give their leadership a mandate to call a strike over these issues.
On,
so this is really stepping up the struggle and exercising their power as workers, the threat of their withdrawing their labor in response to this issue, which is they're framing as an attack on their members, physical attacks on their members, denial of their members' right to freedom of speech, and also standing in solidarity with the the demands of the protesters. So they say that they support and they're calling for an amnesty for all academic employees, students, student groups, and faculty who face disciplinary action, the right to free speech, divestment of the university from investments in weapon manufacturers, military contractors, and companies profiting from the Israel's war on Gaza, disclosure of all funding sources and investments that the university has, and empowering researchers to opt out from funding sources tied to military or oppression of Palestinians. So that's a pretty broad set of demands that they're putting forward, and they're asking for a mandate from their members to call a strike to enforce those demands.
So I do understand you that that's what their leadership is recommending, and they're taking a vote.
Yes. Yeah.
And you said 40.
They're recommending that their members give them that strike mandate, and they've been actually working hard to inform their members about the issues and to urge them to vote and to urge them to vote for the strike mm-hmm. mandate.
And that's, now they have 48,000. And that would mean, for example, if somebody was at San Jose State, member of the union, they would all be with this vote. It wouldn't just be the one campus. It would be all University of California campuses, right?
Yeah, that's correct. All 10 campuses of the University of California. The graduate student workers at all of them are members of UAW Local 4811. So that would encompass all of them, all of the campuses.
You follow these things rather closely. And of course, as I mentioned before, you are close to United Auto Workers. You admire the leadership and they've been taking. Do you have a kind of a sense of what the members, how they're going to respond, how they'll vote?
I fully expect they'll get a very high yes vote. There seems to be, a real movement afoot on university campuses in the United States and Canada, and in California, they're in the forefront of that. So I'm sure that there's evidently massive support from their members for the protests and for this action. And it's also part of there's been incredible growth of unionization of on campuses of faculty, different teaching staff, graduate students, postdocs, and the UAW has been in the forefront of that as well. And it's been a very fast-growing part of the UAW and of overall of union organizing in the United States. So all of this is coming together as there's really heightened awareness of the brutality of the attack on Gaza and, a very strong desire to do whatever can be done to oppose that by people in the United States and Canada.
I keep confusing Uniform UAW. UAW has members at Columbia University, where probably the most dramatic incidents have occurred, at least as reportage. Do you know whether the UAW is there? What portion of the workforce belongs to them, and have they considered this kind of action?
They do represent graduate student workers at Columbia and a number of the other universities, right across the United States. UAW has something like 100,000 academic workers in as members, and 50 or more universities and colleges across the state, including Columbia, and they also represent a group of lawyers in New York that have been in the forefront of this issue because they've been attacked by Congress because they asked their members to vote on a resolution calling for a ceasefire. And there were attempts to prevent them from even voting. Court intervened and told them they were not even allowed to vote on the resolution. That was challenged, which they won, and then they were attacked in Congress. So that issue is still ongoing, and that's UAW members as well. Mm-hmm. So this issue is having a really profound effect on the labor movement because, you know, they care about it, but they're also involved as workers. It's affecting their life as workers. And I think that what's really incredible about the California situation is that they have taken the next step, which is to say that they are considering withdrawing their labor, going on strike around these issues. And if that's successful, it should really galvanize the labor movement and show the direction that needs to be taken, that this is where workers really have power, and they need to exercise that power around these broader issues and play a role in challenging injustice and working for real significant societal change. And they have the power to do it.
It's really interesting. It's sort of like they thought they were going to isolate the students, but then they forgot there are people who work there. And, of course, the other thing they forgot is that both the students and the union members have actual rights, including freedom of speech and the right to do all the everything a citizen is supposed to have. I read that it's several campuses, the administration, and I think it happened here, I think it happened perhaps also in McMaster, Columbia. And the first I heard about it was at the Columbia University. They objected when they saw somebody with a UAW flag, and they said, well, the union doesn't belong there, or they shouldn't be doing that. So what's your response today?
Of course, they need to be involved, and part of it, because they represent students and other workers on the campus and because they support the issue. The UAW was one of the first major unions in the United States to call for a ceasefire in Gaza, and they've continued to maintain that position. The leader of the UAW, as we talked about previously on your show, issued a very strong statement supporting the student protesters and condemning the attacks on them. And, you know, it's probably making university administrators and right-wing politicians crazy to see this happening, because it shows that workers should care about these broader issues, but can really make a difference in those issues if they're prepared to take a stand on them. They have considerable power that if they choose to use it, could really make a difference in a lot of these issues. And much the same as applies in Canada. And there's been, you know, a growing movement of students protesting the Israeli assault on Gaza, and many of them are also union members, and other union members on university campuses in Canada have been part of this. Hopefully it will spread to broader sections of the labor movement taking up these issues, and some of that is already happening, I think.
Yeah. You at McMaster, where they have a growing encampment there, I think we spoke of this before, but we should emphasize. I think CUPE has members there, and Unifor has members, right?
Yes, that's right, and the same is true at the University of Toronto. There's at least three CUPE locals that have supported.
Yeah, there's
the encampment
a large
at the University of
local.
Toronto.
I don't have the background yet about this. Well, I have the background. I'm hearing that the administration here tried to chasten or suggest that the union should be not anywhere around this. I don't know if there's been any response. Are you hearing these stories?
I had a bit of difficulty hearing the question.
Oh, you didn't hear me. I was asking about some, whether or not if this is a pattern that where university administrations are trying to intimidate the unions away from any association with the students.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a pattern, and they are attacking the students, of course, misrepresenting what the students are demanding, and attacking them viciously and trying to portray them as anti-Semitic, trying to cast any criticism of what the Israeli government and armed forces are doing as being anti-Semitic, and trying to use that against the students, and to try to divide any workers from, dissuade any workers from supporting what the students are demanding. And I really think that, despite the viciousness of the attacks, it's not working very well.
It's not working.
I was quite struck at the UAW Local 4811 Twitter feed. They have a number of short videos from their members urging people to vote yes on the strike mandate vote. And one of them is from a member of UAW Local 4811, who's a graduate student, University of California, who is also an ex-member of the Israeli Defense Forces, who just returned from Israel, and says that he was dismayed at what he saw when he was recently in Israel, and that the assault on Gaza has to stop, and urging his fellow members of Local 4811 to vote yes on the strike mandate. So and that's indicative. There's a growing number of Jewish students and workers who are on the side of ceasefire and stopping the assault, and that's making it harder and harder to claim that the movement is anti-Semitic.
Yeah, that's a very I'm glad you raised that. Naomi Klein spoke to the encampment here, the Divest, and which has the main demand of the university dissociate itself from Israel and Israeli universities because of the policies of the Netanyahu government. But Naomi Klein talked here, I think it was on Saturday, and she was very compelling. She attacked immediately what she says is a false accusation, and it's a smear to try to claim that people who are in favor of the ceasefire and all this, to use this term, anti-Semitism. And after all, Naomi Klein is an authority on the subject. She's written a lot about it, and one of the more brilliant writers. That was very telling. I think it's the people like Naomi Klein coming forward and clarifying the issues. And I was struck. The other thing I was struck about by her was that she has given what they call a seminal talk at Columbia University, where she talked about an exodus from Zionism, which is a brilliant talk, actually. But in her remarks here, I was very happy that she was, I would call it understated, a calm voice and a very simple message that just don't fall for these false attacks. Like, stay focused on what is happening in Gaza. Protest it and bring it to an end.
Yes.
You must have seen both these talks. It's a very important contribution.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was at Columbia, that at the encampment at Columbia that she gave that.
The Exodus. It's going to be called the Exodus speech. Mm-hmm. And in that one, she carefully read and was ready to go and really says that's the one she wants everybody to make sure they know her views in total. But here she came with a very clear message. There are people lying about these protests, and the media is helping them. And I thought that was a great contribution.
Yes, very important.
So now, by the way, we've left out, we had one really ugly attack on the encampments in Calgary. And we seem, it's sort of like our Texas, I guess. And I don't know myself, I wonder if you have any knowledge of whether or not there is a union at the University of Calgary.
That's one I don't have the answer to.
I'm sure there's faculty associations or whatnot.
It's likely that there is, but if not, I don't know anything about that one in particular.
Yeah, it is a kind of interesting, just the mimicking that goes on. I mean, the premier of Alberta is very anxious to have a Trump-like image. And so ugly things happen because of the persona and ideology of these leaders. And that happened in California at UCLA. There was some, you know, the leaders there at the city are extremely hostile to any support for Palestinians in any shape, way, shape, or form. There's also, now, University of Montreal, I'm reading, is... forming an encampment. Do you have any knowledge about them and McGill?
One of the first encampments in Canada was at McGill University in Montreal, and it's still going on. If you mean the Université de Montréal, I'm not sure what the status is there, but McGill certainly has been threatened by the provincial government and the administration there, but with threats of the police being called in, but that hasn't happened yet. And, you know, there's been, as at U of T, there's been, you know, continual threats that they could be charged with trespassing or ordered to leave, but it hasn't happened yet here either. So it's really important that, you know, that there be strong support shown for the encampments by the public, by unions, because that is what dissuades the authorities from acting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a really large Nakba demonstration over the weekend. I think that was another worldwide event. By the way, with all this background of quite dramatic developments, it's hard to keep track of them all, but at the same time, the United Nations General Assembly voted overwhelmingly to recognize Palestinians as a full member of the UN, and the only thing between that recognition as blocking it is the United States veto.
Yes.
And they have a president who says he's for the two-state solution, and he votes against recognizing one of the states.
Yes, not only votes against, but blocks it from happening. The General Assembly resolution was overwhelmingly, as you say, endorsed by members of the United Nations. There were only 9 votes against, and they represent 5% of the world's population. Basically, the United States, Israel, and you know, a couple of the Pacific Islands that are in the orbit.
By the way,
I didn't check
on that. Did the UK vote? Which way did they vote?
They abstained.
They abstained. And, of course, Canada heroically abstained.
Yes. There were 25 countries that abstained, 9 that voted no. And something like 143 that voted yes.
Yeah. Yes, very interesting to, you know, the masters.
It's really the, we sometimes lose track of it, you know, when we're surrounded by media in North America. But the overwhelming opinion of people in the world and countries in the world is to condemn what Israel is doing and support the people of Gaza. And that's largely true of the population of the United States and Canada as well. But the ruling forces and media are, you know, heading in a completely opposite direction.
Hmm. We're speaking to Tony Leah of Unifor, Oshawa, the famous General Motors local. Let's talk a bit. I'm sure you're looking at this footage like I do, and so many do. In a way, it's like I feel it's almost morbid, but you have to follow all these things. But let's talk about this subject, if you don't mind, of people expressing, trying to shut down demonstrations or pickets based on using the word fear. And I've been shocked to see how many people with PhDs and or years of lecturing at a university, full professors, etc., are using intimidation, physical intimidation, and obscene insults to people like women wearing a hijab. I don't hear anybody saying, well, the ones, they have every reason, if they care to say, I'm in fear. Why doesn't somebody stop these people from assaulting us verbally? Instead, you know, we, as Naomi Klein points out, there's a kind of a ploy to try to say, well, if you protest, it'll make somebody feel uncomfortable. You know, demonstrating makes a person uncomfortable because you realize you're taking a stand, you got a sign, you have your button or whatever. You understand that somebody may not like you for that, but that's part of democratic life. You saw this, perhaps, the University of Arizona professor who was in a T-shirt and Levi's, and he saw a student, a woman, wearing hijab, and he chest-bumped her. He kept coming into her face, and she said, please leave me alone. And he called her an effing this and an effing that, and I'm in your face. And alongside him, by the way, was a guy who was encouraging him, who was identified as a member of the IDF, Israel Defense Force.
Yeah.
But this, so if you're going to use the word fear, I would say that woman had every reason to fear, and the person bothering her was a professor. By the way, it has a happy ending. The university said he's done. He's finished. He's not coming back here. And then this morning, I saw apparently a celebrated professor of psychiatry, I think it was, and he was talking about using the army against the students and then making fun of what people eat. And this is a guy, I mean, he's super tenured, this guy. Again, you know, it's obviously a false argument. If you're going to talk about fear, anybody feeling, I'm uncomfortable, that would include all of us.
Yes, and there's no doubt that where there's been any violence at all, it's been perpetrated either by police or campus security, or by counter-protesters, and that, you know, UCLA is a prime example of that, where the peaceful encampment was attacked by people who were, determined to inflict as punishment on them, beating them with sticks, and, for a long time, and while the police and other authorities stood back and watched, and then when it was all over, they moved in and arrested the people in the encampment.
And arrested
the people who had been assaulting them.
Yeah, I mentioned on the show last week, there's the great film Grapes of Wrath has a scene in which they illustrate how to shut something down by using provocateurs. and it's almost a case study where it was a labor camp, and it was run by the state, giving farm workers a place they could get clean water and have a roof over their head. And so the farmers didn't like it, and they wanted to break it up. So the way they did it was that there was a little dance scheduled for the labor camp, and the farmers had a guy go in there to start a fight. And then they said, they had told the police, be ready, so when the fight starts, you can go and shut the camp down. Except that the farm workers were smarter. Henry Fonda, of course, he's a very smart guy. And they anticipated the problem, grabbed the guy, and when the police showed up, they said, why are you here? And they said, we came to stop the fight. It is no fight. But that kind of thing is what happened at UCLA.
Yes, exactly.
Today, by the way, I was looking, Charmin Narwani, one of the smarter commentators, and she had a picture. By the way, we're in this new world where people take pictures all the time. We're all being filmed, whether we know it or like it or not. And so some of the rough guys at UCLA who were really went in there, with, as you say, with the sticks and smoke bombs and all kinds of stuff, they've identified him. And he's apparently a well-known KKK guy. And he just likes to fight, I guess. So he just came and he was in the middle of it. They have pictures of him giving the famous Hitler salute, I guess you call it. And he's the guy attacking the Palestinians. We don't have mainstream journalists who would have should have worked to identify him right away, but apparently the demonstrators took his picture, and then they put up a question, who is he? And somebody said, well, here's a picture of him giving the Hitler salute. So
yeah,
we don't have any debate about who he is. It's quite phenomenal, but this thing of being in real time, everybody knowing everything, you know, is quite extraordinary.
It really does change the dynamic. And in terms of the issue of people claiming that they are made uncomfortable by the demonstration, so the demonstration should be stopped, the leftocracy is phenomenal, because you have tens of thousands of people being killed, men, women, and children in Gaza, in a brutal assault, which amounts to a genocide. And if you protest against it, you're being told you're making other people uncomfortable because they don't want to hear that criticism. But yes. Meanwhile, the actual genocide is not worthy of anybody saying, that's making me uncomfortable, it has to stop.
Yes, that's really where the argument lies. And that's, again, why I thought Naomi Klein tagged that very well. And the actor, Wallace Shawn, has given a very good interview on, I forget the name of the program, but you could just say Wallace Shawn. He's, Princess Bride and the film that everybody smiles about, My Dinner with Andre, where two guys have dinner and you can't take your eyes off him, a whole damn movie. But he is a very capable guy. And what I was struck by in his remarks is he says his main complaint about how the story of the crime that is taking place at the moment in Gaza is that the framing, and the Prime Minister of Canada has done this, and others have done it, and he says, rightly, saying pro-Palestine and then pro-Israel, that's a false frame. Because around the world, as you pointed out, people, the great majority, what they're actually calling for and condemning is what is happening with the bombing and population movement of Gaza. So if somebody writes it, if you make a headline and you say pro-Palestine, that's a false frame. It's objection to the assault on Gaza. It's not pro-Palestine in that sense. What they're saying is stop the killing. But he says they try to turn it into a sport, you know, like a are you on this team or are you on that team? He says there's no teams. It's a question of humanity. And humanity is inflamed by what they're seeing. So at any rate, that's my sermon. Tony, what do you think with the unions now? And we'll end up with this. The locals, like at now we're in the States, they're saying they're going to call for strike at McMaster, at University of Toronto. Unions are becoming involved. Shouldn't they expect and call upon all unions, Toronto District Labor Council, the Ontario Federation of Labor, the Canadian Labor Congress, to begin to get involved in this issue and to say what they, to make declarations in support of the right of union members to their own political opinions and to their right to speak?
Absolutely. This should be front and center for everybody in the labor movement. Every union, every labor body should be taking up this issue and taking a stand, because we're at a very dangerous point where this is like an attempt to make protest illegal. And this is the time to make a stand and defeat it. And unions have the power to do that, but they have to step up. Some of them have been taking a good position, and I've certainly seen representatives of unions at some of the encampments and at the demonstrations, but there are others who have not been there, and they all need to be there.
Yeah. Well, that's probably the next stage. Tony Leah, Unifor, thank you very, very much. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. Bye-bye. This is Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I can remind you, you can start right now making contributions to the great station and become a member. We don't say that anymore. Just help us out at CIUT.FM. The drive will begin May 27, but as I say, there's nothing to restrain you from going to CIUT.FM and support the station and its great work. We're going to play a little music, but before we do, I want to introduce it just to say that it's a very strong rap piece, I'm going to call it, by Macklemore. It's called Hines Hall. And it's it's gone, viral. Many, many millions have already heard this. Macklemore has a big reputation. I'm not one who follows this music closely, but I was happy to learn of him. He's a young man from Seattle who has made a real mark on the business. And he's a highly principled individual. The proceeds from this rap called Hines Hall, the proceeds, all proceeds, are going to go to UNRWA. And think about it. The United States and Israel are very determined to try to prevent UNRWA from continuing its duties to provide health and education, etc., all humanitarian assistance to the people of Gaza. And the U.S. They started this game of saying, oh, some of the UNRWA people are employed who were Hamas supporters. And Canada joined in. They reversed themselves now. But I think that they've scored a victory in that at this moment, I think UNRWA is being sidelined. So it's very important that Macklemore highlights this issue by making all the proceeds from his song go to UNRWA. and to get us all to think about this issue, because we've said on the show many times, Israel and the United States really want to remove any UN jurisdiction in Gaza, and frankly, the West Bank, anywhere. They don't want that kind of, I would call it, witness. They don't want a presence that represents the international community. The community they belong to is a rather small group. The leaders of that group are called Five Eyes. And again, now about this song, one of its big promoters is Jill Stein. Of course, Jill Stein, as you know, was at Washington University in St. Louis. She's rather small and unarmed, and she was showing solidarity with a student encampment. And the police came, and they have a little trick they do, the guys in the short pants who ride bicycles. They picked up the bike, and used it to push the people back. And one of the people they pushed and injured was Jill Stein. Several of her close associates were actually knocked down and dragged off. So I guess she's in a mood to really like Macklemore. One other thing I want to make sure I tell you is that this is a song which is has harsh language, and so it's a warning or a note that that you should know that I suppose some people think it might represent a problem. Actually, on the internet and everywhere else, it's already broken through and everyone wants to hear it. So this is the Taylor Port and we want you to hear it. So this is Macklemore.
Yeah, the people they won't leave. What is threatening about divesting and want a peace? The problem isn't the protests, it's what they're protesting. It goes against what our country is funding. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. Block the barricade until Palestine is free. When I was 7, I learned a lesson from Cuban Eazy-E. What was it again? Oh yeah, fuck the police. Actors and badges protecting property in a system that was designed by white supremacy. But the people are in the streets. You could pay off Meta, you can't pay off me. Politicians who serve by any means, APAC, Koofy, and all the companies. You see, we sell fear around the land of the free. But this generation here is about to cut the strings. You could ban TikTok, take us out the algorithm, but it's too late. We've seen the truth, we bear witness. Seen the rubble, the buildings, the mothers and the children, and all the men that you murdered, and then we see how you spin it. Who gets the right to defend and who gets the right of resistance? It's always been about dollars and the color of your pigment. But white supremacy is finally on blast, screaming free Palestine to their home at last. We see the lies and claiming it's anti-Semitic to be anti-Zionist. I seen Jewish brothers and sisters out there and writhing in solidarity and screaming free Palestine with them, organizing and learning and finally cutting ties with a state that's gotta rely on apartheid system to uphold and occupy. And violent history been repeating for the last 75. The NECPA never ended, the colonizer lied. It's students in tents posted on the lawn, occupying the quad is really against the law. And a reason to call and the police and their squad. Where does genocide land in your definition, huh? Destroying every college in Gaza and every mosque, pushing everyone in the rough and dropping bombs. The blood is on your hands, Biden, we can see it all. And fuck no, I'm not voting for you in the fall. Undecided, you can't twist the truth. The people out here united, never be defeated when freedom's on the horizon. Yet the music industry's quiet, complicit in their platform of silence. What happened to the artist? What you gotta say? If I was on a label, you could drop me today. I'll be fine with it, cause the heart fed my page. I want a ceasefire, fuck a response from Drake. What you willing to risk? What you willing to give? What if you were in Gaza? What if those were your kids? If the West was pretending that you didn't exist, you want the world to stand up, and the students finally did. Let's get it.